Greatness, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
There seems to be some serious observation going on in the southern hemisphere and leaks coming out all over the place. It does appear that groups of military and professional astronomers are openly active, let's say, at the Wormwood location in Australia. Well, of course, it's what I've been saying all along. The indicators were all there. And now there are reports that a mini solar system is coming into ours. There's no time frame.
NASA discovered, and we're very excited about having found this, what they term Planet X. X is the Roman numeral for the number 10, meaning the 10th planet in the universe. They were very excited to discover it on December 31st, the year 1983. But suddenly, the chief scientist of the infrared astronomical satellite system that sent this thing into deep space, and they sent back pictures of it, and they released it to six of the top daily newspapers around the world. Suddenly, the government came in, started putting a lid on all this information. But now we find out, just on the week of January 7th, the year 2002, that all of a sudden they're squashing all of this information and keeping it from the public. They said that it was an asteroid when finally they began to admit that it was there. But now in Newsweek magazine, they actually show it with a reflection, because now any astronomer on Earth can get a picture of it. And so the year 2002, January 7th, they finally admitted there is another planet. And it's heading toward the Earth, between the Earth and between the Sun. And it will displace the gravity of the Sun temporarily as it passes by, just as it did in the days of Peleg. Only the largest control telescopes that have been controlled by the government for years have seen Planet X, until I just mentioned they admitted that it is a real planet, January 7th, 2002. But they began to see it in 2001. It was easy to cover it up until then. But then, all of a sudden, in the year 2001, small to mid-level observatories, such as the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, one in South America, one in Switzerland, began to see that there was something there, and it was moving. And according to their calculations, it was heading toward our solar system because it had orbited out of our solar system. Occasionally, you would expect, with such an overwhelmingly important worldwide story, some of the details would be let out somewhere at some time. They have been. One of the headlines was massive population shrinkage. They also wondered out loud, and it was recorded on microphone during one of their, what we would term in Britain, a parliamentary session, or in a congressional session in the United States. It's a Politburo session in Russia. They even wondered if their nation would even exist anymore at all. Government officials, you can be sure, can be trusted to protect none of us. They won't even release this information. They will not try to protect any of us because they know they can't. But they started a mysterious building program underground in at least 129 underground facilities from one end of the country to the other has been completed. We always thought that it was in case of a nuclear weapon, but we found out that it's not. It's in case Planet X comes our way. We need to understand how and why and when the Earth's surface is going to change so abruptly. And it will fulfill in great detail every single item of the Bible, the scriptures that I'll show you. Some of this information came off the wire service of ABC News for 2000. Others of it came from BBC, talking about a planet beyond Pluto heading this way. There's absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. They're actually talking that the population of this world could be reduced by 90%. Does that sound logical to anyone? Could it be if 90% of the population is going to die when this planet comes into this atmosphere or into our orbital structure and all the planet begins to shift, whole land masses sink, others rise?
We are now aware of a very large object that is coming into the solar system, and there seems to be a historical recurrence of this object. Some people call it Nibiru, Planet X. My personal study deals with what I call extrasolar system objects. Some are big, some are small, but there's no question that there are hundreds, possibly thousands of these objects which come into our solar system periodically and then go out in a long orbit. Some may have a 100,000-year orbit. We saw one last February 2003, which we now call Comet Neat B1, which had a 33,000-year orbit, a very large object that came very near the sun, was tremendously large and affected the sun. This is the other thing, is that comets have the ability to affect the energy output of the sun. When that happens, we then get severe weather on Earth. So there's many aspects to the effects that these large comets can have on the solar system and on planet Earth. But the bottom line is, comets are not dirty snowballs. There is an object right now moving into our solar system, and this information is being kept from the public. There's an indication that we have from many factors. I've watched comets coming in from the southern region of the solar system, hitting the sun, causing tremendous solar flaring, and the indication from all that we're seeing is that there is a big object moving into the solar system from the south. The point is that we know for a fact, from observing other incidents, that the astronomy community is not going to tell you about impending disaster. In fact, they're under direct orders not to tell you. We know there's tremendous equipment that has the ability to observe this object. In fact, an entire entourage of objects coming into our solar system.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day radio show, coming to you on Saturday night, April 24th, 2010. There were some extreme technical difficulties for me at my end at the beginning of the show here. I had to restart my computer. I had to look up my login information, and my email wasn't opening. It's a long story, but anyway, we're back on the air. Welcome to the Light of Day show. Start off the program here. I wanted to mention an article that I received from Citizens for Legitimate Government. It's entitled "Pentagon Launches Mystery U.S. Spacecraft." A top-secret rocket has been launched by the U.S. military amid rumors its purpose is to perform experiments for a space weapons program. Officially, the project will test a new space shuttle, the X-37B as in Bravo, that will look at safer and cheaper ways to return spacecraft to Earth. But the details of its payload, experiments, and orbital operations have all been classified. The real purpose of the mission could be to position satellites and other types of surveillance, according to military and security sources. The launch is a military project being controlled by the U.S. Air Force Space Command, not NASA. A military use would explain why the Pentagon has invested up to hundreds of millions of dollars in the craft. The vehicle should provide an on-orbit laboratory test environment to prove new technology and components before those technologies are committed to operational satellite programs, according to the Air Force. Unlike current space shuttles, it can remain in orbit for up to 9 months, folks, but cannot carry people. The X-37B will eventually land in California, but no one knows how long its first mission will take. Quote, "In all honesty, we don't know when it's coming back," said Gary Payton of the U.S. Air Force. The spacecraft would aid development programs that will provide capabilities for our warfighters in the future, he added. Once in orbit, the shuttle will be powered by solar panels and lithium-ion batteries. If its flight is successful, a second vehicle will be launched next year. Now, folks, me and John DiNardo are sort of in agreement that this robotic space shuttle is being used to send more members of the elite up into orbit, either onto the International Space Station or one of the classified military space stations, because of the anticipated cataclysmic Earth changes that are headed this way. It may also be used to possibly get people off the space station or one of the classified space stations in case they can't save their own ass while they're up there looking down here on Earth while all the shit hits the fan, so to speak. Anyway, I'm going to be having my return guest, John DiNardo, here. But thanks to the great technical difficulties I had at the start of the show, we're going to bring John on after the bottom of the hour break, because we're going to be going into break here in about about 2 to 3 minutes. I also wanted to give an update that I finally, folks, received my FOIA request from the NASA Shared Services Center down at Stennis Space Center in Mississippi. And I haven't reviewed all the documentation they sent me. This is via snail mail, but in all likelihood, it looks like they're not going to disclose how many of the people that NASA is officially relocating, or there's no not really any price disclosures mentioned in this contract. And there's a lot of it that's redacted, blacked out, if you will. So, unfortunately, it looks like we're not going to learn what NASA's really up to. But they are in the process of relocating their own people, and they started this back in August of 2007. And they had up until September of last year to get their people moved, with an optional three-year extension period up to the max, if so desired. So NASA is definitely up to something. NASA, which never stands for never a straight answer, that is pretty obvious. Anyway, I'm really sorry about the technical difficulties that started the show. Hopefully next week it'll be smoother. I'm going to be bringing John DiNardo on to talk about some Planet X issues. There's so much to talk about in this specific arena. It's just mind-boggling. Keep in mind the vast majority of the information on the Internet about Planet X is disinformation. And for anybody new to the subject, it will get them lost, which is the desired result by the powers to be. But we're going to bring John DiNardo on, and he's got some pretty accurate information to report on this subject. We're going to be going into the break here in about a minute. So we're going to hold John over until after the break is done at the bottom of the hour. Anyway, here comes the break, and be back. Stay tuned, folks.
Guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
They work in tandem with one another, or they exist in tandem with one another. This planet, you know, most all of our nine planets in the solar system orbit around our sun only, but this one planet, according to scientists and astronomers, and also ancient historians, this one planet orbits around both the suns. So instead of making a regular circular or semicircular orbit as does Earth make around the Sun, a circular, instead of making a circular orbit as does Mars make around the Sun and Jupiter, this one huge brown dwarf planet makes an orbit around both suns so that its orbital path is very long, very elliptical, highly elliptical. And in fact, it takes roughly 3,600 years or 3,500 years, somewhere in that neighborhood of time, to make one orbit, that's considered its orbital period, to make one orbit around the distant sun, to make one orbit from going from our sun to the distant sun and back again. It loops around the two suns, just as a bicycle chain would loop around the pedal sprocket wheel of the bicycle and then travel back and loop around the rear wheel axle sprocket wheel. You can visualize that by just visualizing a bicycle we have ancient historical evidence that 3,600 years ago, the last time this planet invaded in our solar system, there was tremendous destruction. It was at the time of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, and it's been historically recorded in the Bible, the 10 plagues of the book of Exodus, where great natural disasters occurred. There was described in the book of Exodus the waters, all the waters turning red like blood and being totally poisoned and undrinkable. This is believed by scientists, again, to have been caused by a red iron oxide dust cloud, which is gravitationally held in the gravitational sphere of influence of this huge planet as it travels. So it's dragging this cloud with it like a huge vacuum cleaner. And as it passes close to Earth, it doesn't know this planet never hits Earth. The closest it comes to Earth, according to studies made by scientists, is about 15 million miles. That's considered a very close passage, around about 15 to 20 million miles away. But it is, this planet has many, many celestial bodies encircling it, ranging in size from tiny red iron dust particles, iron oxide dust particles, to larger rocks, boulders, asteroids, meteors, comets, and even small planets, many, many thousands of them encircling it. Why would all these celestial bodies be encircling this huge brown dwarf star? Because of a phenomenon we all are familiar with. It's called gravity. The gravitational pull is very strong when a body gets that large. This body has been estimated in size by many scientists, one of whom was back around the year 2001 or around 1999, 2000. His name was Dr. John Murray of the Open University in England. He estimated the size of it to be about three times the size of Jupiter. Now, Jupiter's mass is around almost nearly 300 times the mass of planet Earth. So, this planet is considered to be, by Dr. John Murray, to be three times the size of Jupiter. That's like 900 times the mass of Earth. Another scientist, Dr. John Matisse of the Louisiana State University, who was working independently of Dr. Murray, has estimated it to be at least the size of Jupiter. So this is why this planet drags so many other celestial bodies with it.
Hey, John?
Yes.
What are your thoughts about this? Am I coming across okay?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you very well.
Anyway, what are your thoughts about this robotic space shuttle that they just sent up in orbit?
Well, I just heard about it from you. I haven't been following. There's so much to follow nowadays. So all I can do is speculate. We can look at some other things they sent up. They sent up other probes, space telescopes, quite a few space telescopes, and other, I've been just getting passing information because I haven't been following it that closely, but I know a lot of space vehicles have been sent up recently, many of which are telescopes. And it has to be connected. It's so clear, so evident. The evidence is just mountainous that this planet is coming, that our Earth is being traumatized right now. The scientists know it. The cover-up is just falling apart. I mean, that's how massive the evidence is. So we know, absolutely, they would not be doing anything for scientific research in the distant future or for normal earthly activities under normal conditions where there is no crisis. This is not a non-crisis situation. They know it. And therefore, anything they do in space is going to be related to this crisis and to be protecting themselves. So it could be that I was speculating that they're doing something with the International Space Station I know that I heard on the news, just even, you know, on the regular 5 o'clock news on radio a few months ago, that they had sent up a space payload or shuttle or some kind of vehicle with, I couldn't believe the size of the equipment. They sent up what they said was 45 tons of equipment to the International Space Station to do repairs. Now, even a naive person would be shocked and puzzled to hear of such a large payload being sent for repairs. I mean, that sounds like they're building a whole new space station or doing something to it. And it could be a number of different things they're doing, but it's certainly not normal, and they're certainly lying when they tell us they're doing repairs on it with 45 tons of equipment.
Well, hey, John?
So, yes.
Did you hear? Were you able to hear that sound bite I played in the beginning with Jim McCanny?
Yes.
Oh, good.
With McCanny, yes, it came in very clear.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was June 17th, 2004. Now, here we are going on 6 years later when James McCanny said there are leaks coming out all over the place from professional astronomers and military types at the Project Wormwood in Australia. They're saying that a, quote, mini solar system is moving into our solar system.
Yeah, I'm hoping...
That was 6 years ago, so imagine how close it is now.
Yeah, hopefully McCanny won't turn around and sue me here because I'm playing some off his show. He's already threatened to sue me twice in the past.
He cannot sue you because there's a law. I checked the copyright laws. It's called a fair use doctrine, where a person could take a sound bite. You hear it all the time on TV. They could take a sound bite or clips, but not even a sound bite, but clips that are much more extensive than sound bites, if it serves to deliver a particular point across without copying the majority of the program. And that program was 1 hour, and you played about 2 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
So there's no way he could sue you.
What do you suggest our audience do to prepare for this cataclysmic earth change that are coming?
I'm glad you asked that. Well, you know, this event, the estimation is, now this is from people who have spent years reading books of ancient history and studying the past passages, because as I said, we have ancient historical evidence that very clearly tells us what's about to happen. People have read these ancient historical documents, great scholars like Zechariah Sitchin, and they tell us what is about to happen, and as a result, they conclude that at least 90% of the people on Earth will be killed in this disaster by the many different types of geological cataclysms and meteorological cataclysms. So my understanding is, and I have studied this, and I have turned to God, I have been turning to God for years. People would want to maintain a secular, agnostic attitude. There is nothing but a supreme being that can save us from this. That's why we have to turn our minds to God. And whether we believe it or not, we have to reach out with that little tiny speck of faith that some of us might have. And if after a while, with me, that speck of faith has grown greatly, like a mustard seed, the mustard seed that you read about in the Bible, where it said that if your faith is as small as a tiny mustard seed, it will grow. It can grow if you nurture it. It is something very great and something very powerful and comforting and guiding, and that's what we have to do. But there are physical things that we must do too, because God has given us the power and the brain power and the understanding to protect ourselves. We can move away. Well, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, but I'm in northern New Jersey. They say move away from the coastlines because the tsunamis will wipe out many people. Most people, the majority of the population lives on the coastline, either coast of the Gulf of Mexico, the coast the East Coast of the United States or the West Coast. And the same, likewise, with other countries. People tend to gravitate to the coastal areas.
Hey, John.
Now, we can't all sell our houses and move west. I mean, even for me, it's my wife is, she's a beginning to believe, but she doesn't want to believe it. She certainly wouldn't allow me to sell the house. And it's the same problem with most people. You just can't pick up and leave. You're just locked into where you're at. But I've always reasoned that we can keep our eyes on these disasters. And if we see a tsunami, a potential tsunami, and I can tell you how to look for one on the East Coast and possibly on the West Coast, we can simply leave the house where it is. Don't worry about your belongings. You can't. Don't worry about your bank account. Just take what the necessities, have something already prepared, or, you know, a list of items that you need. Take the wife, the children, the family pet, and jump in a car and drive away from the coastline. You can do that for a few days. So if the tsunami hits and your home is obliterated, at least you're alive. If your home is not obliterated, you just drive back to the coast, to your coastal home again. Now, when I say coast, I would say people who are living anywhere up to maybe 50 miles of the coast would be in danger.
Hey, John?
That's just, you know, it's very difficult to estimate.
Hey, John?
Your altitude has a lot to do with it. We should all find out what our geographical altitude is.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Well, John Moore suggests, or the U.S. Navy suggests that if you're within 100 miles of any coastline, you're in severe danger.
He says 100 miles, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the altitude, too. You know, you could be in a mountainous area 30 miles from the coast, and you might be safe, whereas if you're in a very low area, like around Texas, the Galveston area, you could be several hundred miles inland, maybe, and still be in danger. So altitude is a crucial factor. Look for a mountainous area close by. Make that your getaway point, your getaway destination.
Well, I also did want to interject, John, by stating that I did finally get that FOIA request from NASA, and I'm having major problems with sending my emails out. I want you and John Moore to review all this, but they do identify 10 or 12 NASA facilities on this relocation of employees contract that, you know, the employees could take advantage of, 10 or 12 NASA facilities.
These are all new NASA facilities, these 10 or 12 places?
Oh, no, it's the old ones, Johnson Space Center, Kennedy Space Center, Huntsville, Alabama.
Are they all relatively far from the coast or higher altitudes?
No, the vast majority of the NASA facilities are right along the coastline. Edwards Air Force Base in California, Kennedy Space Center.
So if they're relocating, it doesn't sound sensible that they should be relocating to coastal areas.
No, what the contract says is anybody employed at these coastline NASA facilities can take advantage of this contract to move somewhere else.
To move somewhere else, but to move where else would, what other NASA sites would there be that are further from the coast?
I have no idea. A lot of it's redacted, all blacked out. So.
Oh, okay. Well, something's going on. I mean, if this is a massive directive involving many, many people, employees, something's going on. This has never happened before.
Yeah, what great timing, you know, when the shuttle missions are scheduled in here in just a few months from now.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you about some of the observations. Back in 2008, the South Pole Telescope was actually erected in 2007 at the cost of many millions of dollars. It wasn't just a telescope, you know, set on a tripod.
Right.
In the South Pole, it had to be a huge facility, you know, with warmth and to survive the harsh environmental conditions down at the South Pole. But they set up this telescope, and they've been setting it up for the purpose of observing Planet X coming in, because it is well known that Planet X is coming in from the southern hemisphere. That is below the footprint, below the feet of this fat man called Planet Earth. And in order to observe it, you have to go to the South Pole. That's why they built that South Pole telescope. Now, in January of 2008, Marshall Masters, a former science editor for CNN, Cable News Network, who's been studying Planet X, and he has a website on it's an excellent website on Planet X. It's called YOWUSA.com. YOWUSA.com. And Marshall Masters had noticed that somebody put something up on YouTube back in January of 2008, and this person gave his handle or his, you know, his alias name as Nibiru Shock 2012. Now, Nibiru is an ancient name for Planet X that the ancient Sumerians 4,000 years ago named it when it came in, several thousand years ago when it came in. And that's the name that was given to it. You'll hear the name Nibiru as an ancient name for what is scientists today and astronomers and the entire astronomical community of our age has been calling Planet X. So anyway, this Nibiru Shock 2012, his alias name, I put something on YouTube which was photographs of Planet X. And immediately it was taken down. It was taken down from YouTube. And we don't know what happened, but the Nibiru Shock, this particular anonymous person, then someone came up with what appeared to be a phony or an imposter impersonating this Nibiru Shock 2012 person. And this seeming imposter said, I'm Nibiru Shock 2012, and what I put up was a hoax. Was just a joke. It wasn't for real. Well, Marshall Masters checked into it. Marshall Masters received a private email, which he has available. I think it's maybe free on his website to anybody to view it, this private message. But Marshall Masters says that this email from the real person who claims to be Nibiru Shock 2012 says that he was not joking and that someone else is trying to discredit his release of this information. Now, we don't know what happened to this man. Maybe he's been killed as a result of his speaking out. We know others have been killed in the past. We have absolute evidence of it. I mean, it's circumstantial evidence is so strong. Yes.
Well, me and you are also in agreement that we've captured Professor McCanny numerous times contradicting himself, and you tend to think that maybe his pension's at stake or he's holding back on things at times?
Well, yeah, but I would rather just mention it, this situation as some particular scientist or physicist or astrophysicist or in general any astrophysicist or astronomer who might have revealed this information in the past may be under threat right now, without mentioning any names, mm-hmm. you know, right. Because then you wind up getting into conflicts with that person. But I would just say in general that any scientist with any amount of credibility is going to be in danger. The person like me, I'm a former high school physics teacher and electronic circuit designer and electrical engineer.
Hey, John.
And I'm not big enough with my any credentials to be a threat, I hope. Hope I'm not.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's people out there that suspect you have a military intelligence background, which would indicate this is all part of a psyops about Planet X, which is not true, correct?
Correct. I was in the U.S. Marine Corps. And I went to the Naval Air Technical Training Center in Memphis, Tennessee, and learned to be an electronics technician, aircraft electronics technician, which is a regular job. And you're still a Marine. You still carry a rifle. You learn how to fire weapons and do all the things that a Marine does. But your main duty is to work on aircraft. I worked on F-4 Phantom jet aircraft, the electronic systems, the electrical systems, navigational systems, radar, communications and navigation systems. And that's all I did. It's got nothing to do with intelligence. Never had any intelligence training or experience whatsoever. So anyway, where are we going from here? There's so much evidence. Now, this Nibiru Shock 2012 was a person. Marshall Masters concluded, after a great deal of study, that this disinformation message that was put out after Nibiru Shock 2012's release of the evidence, the pictures on YouTube of Planet X, that this hatchet job that was done on him was probably must have been done by people in power, that is, people in the government who want to conceal this thing, and the government has spent literally many, many millions of dollars.
Hey, Don,
10 years.
The show is done, hey.
Oh.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll have you back next week.
Well, thank you, Sheldon. I appreciate your offering me this opportunity to speak.
Well, thank you, Don. We'll talk soon.
Right. Good night.
Good night.